Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 7, the stanzas 2 and 3. Lay upon God's altar good and loving deeds, and in all things trust him to supply your needs. And what follows, Psalter 7, the stanzas 2 and 3. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 6, the verses 19 through 34. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 6, beginning with verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, and neither do they reap, and nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which if you by taking thought can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, and neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow was cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee to gather us and our children once more together within the walls of thy house. And then we hope that all those that have set out for thy house may have arrived safely, and then we may acknowledge thee for all thy traveling mercies. And Lord, we humbly beg of thee, may it in this evening not only be a house of prayer, may it be a house of thanksgiving, a deep impression of thy goodness, of our sinnership. May it to that end also be a house of confession, with a deep impression that it is all undeserved, forfeited. Our sins are great and manifold. Lord, we humbly beg of thee, may it in this evening hour be a house of conversions, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion, but may it also be a house of instruction, of comfort, of edification, of correction for thy children. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Thou knowest what they stand in need of. May there be an Advent people amongst us for that first revelation away outside of herself, but also the further leadings in the mysteries of salvation for a new instruction. But then in the scriptures there is also spoken of a second Advent, that thy dear Son shall come upon the clouds of heaven, and that thy children shall be taken home to be delivered from self, from the devil, and from the world, to be forever with thee, and to bring thee that praise which thou art so worthy to receive. Lord, may it also be a house of uplifting, when there are those smoke and flaxes, where it seems that it all is coming to an end, where maybe the prayers have become faint and feeble, where they are fearing that there shall never be a fulfillment of that advent in their life. Wilt thou grant that encouragement in this evening, and that the broken reeds, that they may be given to lift their weary head, O Lord. May it please thee to bless thy word. Thou hast promised that it shall not return void unto thee. And then also in this evening hour, either a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. O, leave us not unto ourselves. Give us not over to the hardening of the heart, the greatest judgment that can come upon a people, and that precedes the judgment of destruction. May it please thee to bless the manifold means of grace. Wilt thou remember the consistory? The duties are manifold, from man's side an impossible task. Wilt thou be our helper ever near, and may the labors be blessed May there be many Aarons and hers. Bless the labors on the Sabbath day. Bless the labors during the week, the catechism classes, the confession of faith, the visitations, it all awaits for thy blessing. Wilt thou remember and help fathers and mothers to instruct their children in that aforesaid doctrine? May it be accompanied by unceasing prayer, by an example according to thy holy word. Bless the instruction in our Christian school. When thy word daily may be opened, may it please thee to continue to grant traveling mercies to and fro. Wilt thou help and remember the school board in their weighty and responsible task? Wilt thou help the administration? Wilt thou remember the teachers? We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. Remember the established churches. Remember our theological school. Remember the instructors and students. Remember all the vacant congregations. May it please thee to thrust more labors out in thy vineyard, where the labors are many and where the labors are few, and also that thou may incline young hearts to study for teacher, that our children may be instructed in the aforesaid doctrine. Lord, remember all those that suffer for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in so many countries and in so many places, and that we may still freely and unhindered come up to thy house, we may still have possession of thy holy word. And may we many a times be given to pause and consider thy goodness, but also our responsibility. Remember the Jewish nation, ah, Lord. May it please thee to take the veil off their understanding, but above all to work in the hearts, that for a poor and a needy people who have been wrought upon by thy Holy Spirit, that they may experience that the Messiah has come indeed to save the chiefest of sinners. We commend unto thee all mission work over the length and the breadth of the earth. Remember also our mission field. Remember and help thy servants. Remember the team with their families. We remember all Bible translators and those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth, many times with great difficulties and with great impossibilities. Thou hast declared in thy word, cast thy bread upon all waters, and thou shalt find it in many days. Lord, remember our poor country in these dark and solemn times. Remember all in high authority. Oh, they also need to be converted, as we and our children impress upon them that one day they shall have to give an account whether they have attempted with thy help to rule this country according to thy holy word. Remember all the judges in the Supreme Court and in the different judicial systems. Oh, impress also upon their heart that one day they shall be the judge, where they shall stand before the judge of heaven and earth, also according how they have judged here in the time. Lord, remember our manifold needs, and may it please thee to remember man and beast in the winter weather, wilt thou graciously provide the daily bread for our family circles. Wilt thou grant more that dependent life, that we truly need thee, that there may be times that we may be given to see, to understand and experience that this is the hand of the Lord who was so graciously and undeservedly provided for us and our children. Lord, then by renewal, then we commend unto thee all the mourning ones. Remember all the elderly ones in the evening of their life, where the infirmities are increasing. Remember all those in the care home, with those that may care for them. Remember the elderly yet bound to their home, and those that may still come up to thy courts. Lord, remember all under the physician's care, all the different circumstances, they are known unto thee. And then by renewal in a special way, then we lay before thee the needs of the mother who has received heavy tidings. May it please thee to grant her that place at thy footstool, when she may be so overwhelmed. Grant by thy Spirit that she may be given to experience in these deep and trying ways what the psalmist of old has declared: when my soul is overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path, Lord. May it please thee by the blessed work of thy Spirit to use it for the saving of souls. Remember the crosses and the burdens. Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. And now, Lord, in this evening hour, then may our eyes be upon thee. May thou be our helper ever near. Wilt thou anoint with fresh oil from above, that thou may be exalted to the highest, and that man may be abased to the lowest. May there be a Aaron's and hers among young and old. May there be empty vessels. Lord, those that are so full of the world, full of self-righteousness, may they be emptied to make room for thy work. And when empty vessels have come up, and thou knowest how that we have come up, then we read in the scriptures that when the doors were closed of that dwelling, that the oil was poured, and that it began to flow, oh, wonder-doing God. Wilt thou then be mindful of us? We commend unto thee all those that could not come up to thy house in this evening hour, but do remember all that have come up. Hast thou not promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them? And then by renewal, Lord, we have to confess that we have nothing to plead upon. Our sins, they are great. Also concerning the providence of God, unthankful creatures, impatient in the way of adversity, and that we trust in an arm of flesh instead of thee. May we more be given to confess, to learn, and to confess our sins, and that there may be a fleeing to that fountain of blood. O Lord, have then mercy upon us and our children as we hasten through the time to that never-ending eternity. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 212, the three stanzas. I thought upon the days of old, and the years departed long. I held communion with my heart, by night recalled my song. My heart inquired with anxious care, will God forever spurn, and what follows? A Psalter 212, the three stanzas. in this evening hour with the Lord's help. And then we wish to ask your attention for Lord's Day number 10 of our Heidelberg Catechism, a question and answer, and number 28. What advantage is it to us to know that God has created and by his providence does still uphold all things? Answer, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. Lord's Day number 10, question and answer number 28, speak of the blessed spirit-wrought exercises concerning the providence of God, with three thoughts. In the first place, the exercise of patience in adversity. In the second place, the exercise of thankfulness in prosperity. And in the third place, the exercise of trusting for the future. The blessed spirit-wrought exercises concerning the providence of God, the exercise of patience in adversity, the exercise of thankfulness and prosperity, and in the third place, the exercise of trusting for the future. Beloved congregation, then we were given on the past Lord's Day to consider question and answer number 27. What doth thou mean by the providence of God? Do we think much of the Lord's providence in our life? And then, as a general rule, there is more thought of the providence of the Lord when the Lord sends trials, when the Lord sends troubles, and when the Lord sends afflictions. What a blessing it is, because if we would only have a right impression of our sins, which are so great and which are so manifold, if we would have more an impression of what unthankful creatures that we are, then should it not be a greater wonder when the Lord sends prosperity than when he sends afflictions and when he sends adversity? Then we have heard in the last Lord's Day that the providence of God, that the instructors, according to the scriptures, then it is called an almighty hand, a hand that upholds and a hand that governs even to the smallest details in our life, and that the Lord, that there is nothing that is excluded in that providence. And now in this evening hour, And then there is ask, and that question is worded a little differently, because in question 27, what dost thou? Thus that thou, who does that refer to, boys and girls? Does that only refer to older people, or is the instructing asking each and every one of us, thou, what dost thou understand by the providence of God? It is such a personal matter, and what a blessing it is when the Spirit grants unto the true child of God that they may be much exercised with the providence of God. And then in this Lord's Day, then we hope to hear of the prophet the advantage. But then it does not speak of thou. What advantage is it to us to know that God, thus that speaks in the plural, and that has a special meaning, because I read in Romans 14, verse 7, that none of us liveth unto himself. We live together as a society, as a family, as a church, and that providence is so interwoven, it is true. It is such a deep subject. We cannot fathom it. We cannot understand it. Blessed that soul, that there may be those moments who may be given to adore it. Because when we consider in this Lord's Day the providence of the Lord, then it is speaking to the true child of God, young and old. When we consider the Lord's providence in our life, in the way of prosperity, in the way of adversity, trials, and tribulations, must it then not be the question, oh, the true child of God, how troubled they can be with that matter, when they are given to consider what the Lord places upon their pathway, also in the way of adversity. Ah, then that child, many times they can be questioned when it becomes so impossible, when it becomes so dark. Oh, think of Asaph in Psalm 73, when he has considered the wicked and there was no trouble, and it seemed that his troubles were there every morning. Has God forgotten to be kind? Shall I then his promise a faithless find? Ah, then many times when the Lord begins to work, and when then with all the different providential leadings, oh, then for such a child, then they think, if I now had the assurance that I was indeed a child of God, a child washed and cleansed by that precious child that was born in the manger of Bethlehem, who was crucified, who was died, who sitteth at the right hand of the Father, oh, with assurance, if I could now repeat Lord's Day number 1 and have that assurance, then I could bear all things, even the greatest persecution. But, ah, then the child shall learn that it all has to come from above. And therefore, in this evening, then we have called our theme, the blessed, a spirit-wrought exercises concerning the providence of God. Oh, what advantage is it to us to know that God has created, and by his providence does still uphold all things. Thus the question is, what is the fruit in our life? Does it now make a difference in our personal, in our family life, that there is a God who sitteth on the throne, who ruleth over everything in all our lives? And then the instructress answered that we, thus by renewal in the plural, it is true, a child of God shall experience it individually. Nevertheless, none of us liveth for himself, and to that end that we, then the instructors, with that us and with that we, that points us to our responsibility, that we are not as a Cain who was said, am I my brother's keeper? But when the Lord blesses us, that we may have liberal hearts, that we may be given to help those that are in need. Christ has said, it is better to give than to receive, that we may be patient in adversity. It could be asked, why have the instructors now first spoken of adversity before prosperity? Then we must consider the times that our instructors have written the catechism. Oh, a time of persecution lie behind, but the persecutions, the bitter enmity, there were many that have lost their possessions. There are many that have lost their lives at the stake. Thus, in that time, it was a time indeed of afflictions, but also, oh, the instructors, according to the word of God, know the Lord still has left many good things in Israel. The Lord still granteth many blessings, but it shall be the experience that on account of our deep fallen Adam, we have heard it in this morning hour out of Genesis 3, that the curses that have come upon the earth, then the instructors are impressing upon our minds in this evening that this earth shall never be a paradise. And how is it now with us? Are we still seeking by renewal not to despise the many blessings that the Lord give us so liberally and so undeservedly unto us and our children? And nevertheless, do we now think that we shall find a paradise here below? And then I shall not ask the older ones, but then a special question to our youth. What is our expectation of this world? Oh, then you have heard it preached. Maybe your grandparents have told you of their trials. Ask the mourning families. Think of the hidden crosses. But young people, how is it now in your heart? Do you maybe think it is true? Many people, they have not found their true happiness here below. But for me, it shall be different. Finish school. Hopefully the Lord grants a partner under the truth to become married, a family to be settled, and to be happy. And then? What then? Because we cannot remain here. And then eternity. But now, a few words about the advantage of providence. And now the first blessing that we may. Oh, that word may. That is such a wonder for the true people of God. Because these blessings spoken of in our Lord's day, they are blessings that have been merited by the Lord Jesus Christ, and which he grants unto his people by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. Because that patience, that is not to be found in self, when in this Lord's Day there is spoken that we may be patient in adversity, then we must first say what it is not. Then it is not speaking of an easygoing and a patient character, much more pleasant to live with, much more easier for the person, for the family circles, and there are people that have a very gentle character, and even under adversities, that they can be so patient. But in this Lord's Day, then it is not speaking of the characters, but then it is speaking of the work of grace, which the Lord glorifies in the heart of his people. Then when it says to be patient in adversity, we can be so orthodox, and we can be so reformed, that when the Lord sends afflictions, that we can speak of the degree of God, we can speak of the providence of God, and that the Lord orders all things, that he makes no mistakes, and meanwhile in our heart it can be so unrestful. Then when we read patient in adversity, that does not mean we must be a stoic. That means that we must suppress our emotions. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 11 at the grave of Lazarus. Then he is wept. And then fourthly, it does not mean that we may and must not use lawful means. When the Lord sends afflictions and trials, then we may use lawful means, and then we may ask the Lord if it may be according to his holy will, that he may deliver us from the trials. Think of the Psalms, think of David in the time of persecution, how often he has asked the Lord that he may be delivered. But now to be patient in adversity, that shall be when we receive a deep impression, because as long as we are still a people with rights, and as long as we are still a worthy people, then we shall not be patient. When it says patient in adversity, then it actually speaks, and that is the highest standing in grace, to let God be God and to rule over our lives in all the different circumstances. Thus for that patient, a deep impression of what we deserve. Then in the second place, a deep and solemn impression of who the Lord is, who orders all things, who is so sovereign, who is so free, who is so wise, who is so good, and who is so just. Then in the third place, a deep impression that the Lord is all things in his hand, that nothing cometh by chance, that the Lord has decreed, that the Lord has ordered, and that the Lord knoweth all things. We think of David when he was persecuted by Absalom. A deep impression, David knew why. Because the Lord has said, the sword shall not depart from thy house. And then when David fled and Shimei was cursing, then David was given to bow with a deep impression that he was worthy to be cursed. Then in the fourth place, that the Lord, oh, what a blessed grace, to truly be given to believe to be a child of the Heavenly Father, as the instructors have declared. And Lord's Day number 9, that does not mean congregation, that to exercise these graces for the church, that it is only experienced by the Christian, by God's child, that has been led further into the mysteries of salvation. Oh, people of God, think of that first time when the Lord is drawn by the cords of love, when you were so busy with the things of the Lord, and then what a close eye to the providence of God. Then it has been said that people could not walk over a straw, such a tender and such a close life with the Lord. And then I read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, that the Lord shall not tempt his people above that they are able to bear. Then in the fifth place, to be given to believe, the mysterious providence. Sometime, boys and girls, to make it simple, sometime the providence of God, that is compared to embroidery work. You know what that is. In the winter evenings, our mothers, our girls, may our family spend many evenings together when it is possible. We know when the children become older, different professions. But what a blessing it is in the winter season when we may be together as a family. Mothers, daughters, busy with their hands, reading a good book together. But now, children, when you have an embroidery work, and when you look at the bottom, then it does not look so neat. And then sometime it is hard to decipher what your mother or sister is making. But now, if you may be given to look from the top, then it is a beautiful picture, and that is now a beautiful emblem of the providence of God. Oh, here we see it mostly from underneath. Can seem so mysterious, can seem so difficult, so unfathomable. And to that end, Christ has said unto his disciples, what I do now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. What a blessed faith it is. Oh, in the life of God's people, as a general rule, and especially in our day, in this silent time, then how independent we live. But what a blessing for a child of God to be exercised. And that many a times, even in a day, that they may be given to see the hand of the Lord in their life. Concerning that patience in adversity, to be exercised with the attributes of God. Oh, that patience, then to be given to consider those that have met much greater tribulations. And what a blessing it is, how often it has happened in the life of a child of God, in the way of sickness, in the way of deep suffering, that they were led to that precious Savior who has suffered so greatly, but who had no sin, who has suffered for his children. And then there can be times that their suffering is swallowed up into nothingness. But when we speak of patience in adversity, then we may speak in what a blessing it is, because with adversity and trials, we cannot remain the same. Then the Lord speaks unto us in a special way, And then what a blessing it is when those adversities, those trials, that they may be sanctified. And now when they may be sanctified, what shall then be experienced? Then there shall be that repentance with a confession of our sins. When the afflictions may be sanctified, then the Lord shall grant that we may be given to examine our lives. I read in Micah 6, verse 9, hear ye the rod, and who has appointed it. And now when the Lord chastises his child, oh, it can be the question whether it is punishment. But for the true child of God, it is chastisement. And then upon that rod, then it shall be profitable, because if they only see the rod and they see nothing written upon it, then it shall not be profitable for their soul, but to be given to examine their life. We have mentioned David when he had to flee for Absalom, and then he knew the reason, because of his great sin. Then in the third place, a sanctified providence, when it brings a soul closer to his word and a soul closer to the Lord, that they may be given to repent of their backsliding. Not to misunderstand, sometime the Lord in his sovereignty to try the faith of his child, then he sends great afflictions. Think of Job, but that was also sent in love. Then the providences shall be sanctified when they may be given to bow and to agree with the Lord. Congregation, we can speak of these things. But now, to be given to exercise them by the grace of God, by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit, and to be given to submit. Think of an Eli, that old Eli. He had two sons. They were priests. Church discipline was not administered. And then in 1 Samuel 3, the Lord has spoken to that little Samuel, and that little Samuel has spoken to Eli, that his house would be destroyed, that it would be cut off. And then what a grace for that old Eli. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. When the providences may be sanctified, then it grants a closer life with the Lord. Ah, when they are sanctified, then we can harden our heart as a Pharaoh, or that we fall into unbelief as a Thomas, or that we become despondent as an Elijah after Jezebel has sent that message, that he would be as one of those priests, or we murmur like the children of Israel, a patient in adversity. And now the child of God shall learn that it all comes from above. It is only by grace. When the true church may say what the Apostle Paul has written to the Romans, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, not knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And where the hope is shed abroad in the heart on account of that love, the apostle has written to the Hebrews in Hebrews 12, verse 11, now no chastisement for the present is joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it works peaceable fruits of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. And now concerning that first point, then the child of God, oh, then how necessary and how adorable and how precious that child born in Bethlehem becomes, and more and more where they need him as prophet, priest, and king. Our second thought, the exercises of thankfulness in prosperity. You'd let us first sing. Of Psalter 444, let us sing 4 and 5, and if necessary, number 7. Jehovah will not chide with us forever, nor always keep his anger, but deliver his people from their sorrows and distress. He has not crushed the flock of his possession. Psalter 444, the stanzas 4 and 5, and if necessary, the 7th. The Blessed Spirit wrought exercises concerning the providence of God. The exercise of patience in adversity. And now secondly, the exercise of thankfulness and prosperity. What do you think is easier, congregation? What do you think, boys and girls? Is it now easier to be patient in adversity or thankful in prosperity? In our deep fallen Adam, we have lost both. And both are gifts which Christ has merited to his people and which they may partake of by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. And then we must make a difference between gladness and thankfulness. There can be much gladness in this world, but now just gladness that centers more on self or with our neighbor, but that excludes the Lord. But now that true thankfulness, when the Lord grants it, that ends in the Lord, with that vehement desire that the Lord may be praised by us and also by our fellow traveler. There have been many saints that have done better in the ways of adversity than in prosperity. We think of David, if we think of Solomon, if we think of King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26, then the Lord has truly blessed him. And then we read that he was marvelously helped until he became strong. And when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to destruction. Thus to be thankful in prosperity. And let us add, we live in a time, we know there are trials, we know there are difficulties, we know it is not always easy for our families concerning their daily bread, but we live in a time of prosperity. Most of us do not know what it is to live in a time of true depression, what it is to live through a war. But how is it now with that thankfulness? And then a child of God, and especially we would say in our time, many times in earlier days, how many saints there were that had but a meager portion, but that the high praises of God were upon their lips, and that they had that close, that tender, that dependent life, and how thankful not to idolize the old times, because also that people, they had to be administered out of heaven concerning that true thankfulness. And now we live in a time with much abundance. And people of God, how is it with that thankfulness? Oh, there are times, times that are unforgettable, can be in the night watches, that they are given to be wondering and endure the mercies of the Lord in the way of providence and in grace, that they are given to sing the praises of the Lord. But alas, alas, do we not live in a time that we take so much for granted? And now when it says when our instructors say three words, thankful and prosperity, what does that all include? With an impression of our sinnership and what we deserve, and that the Lord grant us so much. In the second place, an impression of who the Lord is, given to adore Him in His wonderful attributes. In the third place, to be given to see how they have received it. 'Tis so profitable for a child of God to notice the circumstances, to notice the time. Do we not read of that nobleman's son, that it was inquired when he was healed, it was the seventh hour? And further, because in Lord's Day number 9, we have heard that the instructors have explained that the child of God is a child of the Father, and that is through the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ. For a child of God to be led into those mysteries, that Christ has purchased His people not only for their soul, but also concerning their bodies. Then that true thankfulness and sanctified blessings, then it shall bind closer to the Lord, to His word, to His institutions, to the throne of grace. Then it shall become evident, as I read in Romans 8, verse 29, that they become more conformable to the image of God. Then they shall be given, what a pleasant work, what a delightful work that is for the child of God. And it is true, many times it is when they may look back, because at the moment it can seem so mysterious, but when they may be given to see indeed the fatherly hand, that He so graciously watches, that He leads, that He guides, that He spares. The psalmist in Psalm 111, verse 2, has declared, the works of the Lord are sought out of all of them, that have pleasure therein. With those sanctified blessings, then the child shall receive an impression that they are only stewards, that it is only given for a time, and then it cannot be different, when they may receive a true impression of the goodness and the mercies of the Lord in providing and for blessing, then it shall be a desire that we may be given to help those that have less, that the Lord may use us as a raven, as in the time of Elijah, David. We read in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 14, oh, that was a good and a precious time in the life of David, it is true. Nathan has come and declared that he may not build a temple, but then he was permitted to gather much good and much gold, and then he was given to confess in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14, Lord, who are we and my people, that Thou hast given us so much, and that we willingly may give, and that we may only give what we have received? Then a humble and a broken heart under the goodness of the Lord. Oh, it is true. It is only in beginning. It is only in part. And then the true child of God, and the closer life they may have, the more they are given to confess that they take so much for granted, and that thanksgiving is so little, But for the child of God, they may have a little beginning. Here they may be given to declare, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thee be all the honor given for thy truth and for thy mercy's sake. What shall it be for the church of God when they are taken into glory and then continually and most perfectly, then they shall be given to thank the Lord for his gifts in the way of providence and in the way of grace. Our third thought, the exercise of trusting for the future. And then we can understand if the first and the second are not experienced, then the third shall not be found. It is true, each gift, that is by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit, but in the life of a child of God, is it not many a times what the Apostle Paul has written to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1:10, who had delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver and trust that he will yet deliver. And now concerning the future, what a fears there can be in all our hearts. What an ifs. That is what the devil and the world likes us to be busy with. If this what happened, that what happened on the farm, my personal life, in my family life, what then? But now the instructors, they are given to speak so good and great of their God, and to that end also hope and trust for the future. We place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father. What a statement. Who dares to repeat it? In this evening hour, in the true exercise of faith, we have read together out of Matthew 6 a portion from the Sermon on the Mount. And then Christ, he knoweth that his people, their weakness, their infirmities, and then he has also addressed those disciples. And he has said, O ye of little faith, so many cares and so many concerns concerning food and raiment. Then he has simply pointed them to the lilies, to the fowls of the air. And then he has declared that the Father cares for his child. When we read, put our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, what should then be our question? Is that our question? How is it as we travel to eternity? It is true, sometime those are still good questions. Sometime also our youth, older ones. And then concerning this Lord's Day, then they said, if I was now a child of God, then I know what I must do, because I must trust. But what about when I am unconverted? Then I tell them, read the Bible. And for those that have trusted in the Lord, they have never been put to shame. That we put our faithful trust, our trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love. There you have the separation. then congregation, you can examine whether you are a child of the Lord. Has the Lord ever drawn by the cords of love? Has He ever filled your heart with His love? And then we receive a love for the Lord, for His word, for His day, for His house, and for His institutions. And then it becomes our concern that we grieve not the Lord. So it is also in a family. When it is right in the hearts of children, then they shall do the best to grieve. And the Lord has said concerning Saul in 1 Samuel 15, verse 25, to obey is better than sacrifice. And then further, since all creatures are so in His hand that without His will, they cannot do so much as move. Then we see congregation that in this Lord's day, there is not spoken of an insurance policy. That is not necessary, because the people of God, they have such a rich and such a faithful and such an almighty God. He is so wise and He is so good. I think you have read the story before, boys and girls. There was once a father with children. That father had a business. And then many times a parcel or a package had to be brought to a certain address. And on a certain day, that father has given his son a box, a package that he placed on his shoulder, and he has given directions where that box must be brought. And then that boy was walking down the road, and then he has met someone. And then that man said to that boy, "Boy, I think that package is too heavy and too big." And that boy said, "It cannot be, because my father has placed it upon the shoulder." What a simple instruction, young and old. How is it now with the providence of the Lord? The Lord directs and orders all things, but may we be given to examine ourselves, whether we have become a true child, whether we have experienced that love. And then concerning the providence of God, oh, to be directed to that child that was born in the manger of Bethlehem, who has merited those blessings for the church of God. Oh, David, when he was a shepherd boy, and you see, young people, we do not have to be old, maybe you think, that we have to be older to be led further in the ways of grace. No, David, 'tis believed that he has penned by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit a Psalm 23 in his younger years. And then he was given to declare, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me." Oh, in verse 5, then he has spoken of that table prepared in the midst of his enemies. He was given to speak, "My cup runneth over." And then he has added that solemn, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Lord grant by His grace, by His Spirit, that it may be or become our portion as we hasten to that never-ending eternity. Amen. Let us close. O Lord, O when we have heard of the instructor, according to thy holy word concerning the providence of the Lord, then we all have many reasons to exclaim that we are so guilty. May our sin become guilt, and may we be given to need thee in all our ways. Lord, wilt thou also remember and help in that respect in the week which we have commenced, that we take not all for granted, a grant that thankfulness in the midst of trials to be patient, and concerning the future, may our eyes be upon thee, Lord. Wilt thou graciously watch over us in this week? Wilt thou keep from harm and danger, keep from an unexpected, and above all, from an unprepared death? Wilt thou keep from sin and temptation? Wilt thou watch over us wherever we are called to be, in the home, at work, at school, on the way? Wilt thou grant strength and health for the duties which thou hast laid upon us, a grant in the midst of the family circles, health and strength, a courage and happiness, and may thy holy word have a special place, Lord. May it now please thee to guide us over the slippery roads in this evening hour, that thou may bring us safely to our homes, and that we may be given to see thy hand therein. Give a prayer for one another. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 401, the stanzas 2 and 3. Trust not in man, who soon must die, but in the living, on the living God rely. Most blessed the man whose help is he, that made the heaven and earth and sea, and what follows. Psalter 401, the stanzas 2 and 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.